Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
This is the station for the fans of the home teams. Pastors, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Toucher.
No police recalls.
And Rich.
I am somewhat of a superhero.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Ian O'Connor is a senior writer for ESPN. He's also a New York Times best-selling author. And now he's got a book he's been working on for years, Belichick, The Making of the Greatest Football Coach of All Time. That's coming out on September 25th. People have advanced copies of the book. They've read this 457-page book. I have to give these guys credit. They just crushed it in like one sitting. Mr. O'Connor, thank you for joining us, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm well. All right, so how many people did you talk to for this book?
I talked to 350, and it took me reaching out to, and this is an estimate, about 500, maybe more, people to get to that number. So it took me 3 years to do it. I was trying to make myself a qualified historian of Belichick and his dynasty, and hopefully I pulled it off. I think I did, but I guess the reader will be the judge of that.
All right, but there was a commonality of the people that wouldn't talk to you, wasn't there?
You know, I suppose that the majority of people who didn't speak to me were people, well, some of them were asked by Bill not to speak to me. Some of them wanted to and felt like they couldn't because Bill asked them not to, and they were loyal to him, and I understood that. And I felt when I signed up for the project that probably would happen to some degree. I was a little disappointed with some people who didn't speak, but I think some who did, and some of that was for background, would surprise you.
Now, it's funny, Ian, because every time any kind of book is written about the Patriots, there's immediately a group of Patriots fans who just get angry and offended, and especially ESPN. But there's a lot of, like, glowing praise for Bill Belichick in this book, yet for some reason there's a lot of Patriots fans who will hold on to the one thing that is about, you know, Brady and Belichick and the controversy. It's well documented over the past couple of months.
Oh, sir.
Have you heard some backlash from Patriots fans since the release of this book?
Oh, yeah, I have. And, yeah, listen, and part of it is, yesterday I did a lot of promotion. That was the first day, and I was at ESPN on a bunch of shows, and everybody was talking about Brady and Belichick, and I'm telling you guys, I don't think I get to Brady and Belichick's relationship and how it sort of unraveled last year until I'm 430 or 440 pages deep in the book. This book is about Bill's life, his epic life in football, and his development as what I believe now is the greatest coach of all time. It's not about the Brady-Belichick relationship last year. As you stated, a lot of very good reporters in Boston, guys like Greg Bedard and Tom Curran and Bob Holder, I'm leaving out a few, and then Seth Wickersham at ESPN reported on that. I added, I think, a couple of details and some context. This book is about Bill's epic football life, and I have a lot of positive stories about that. And the strength and spirit of the book is really Bill as a young man in high school, at prep school, at Wesleyan, his development with the Giants, then with all the mistakes he made in Cleveland and how he learned from those mistakes. That is the essence of the book. This is not a book on the Bill Brady relationship, but yesterday, obviously, we were talking quite a bit about that, and it is very important. And I do think they're going to win one more championship together. I hope I'm there to write about it because I think that's going to be a great moment. I think that would be it for them. But I would like to see them get to number six. I think it would be a hell of a story.
What's funny, Ian, is that when I tweeted that you were coming on, there were a couple fans who were like, well, the last guy you should be writing about Belichick is this one. And everyone was sending me the screen cap of probably the most notorious article that's ever been written about him, the one that when he was signed that is written by you, and the title is Patriots Will Regret Hiring Belichick.
That's right. I remember writing that column. Trust me, I would say 30,000 Patriots fans over the last 18 years have either tweeted that to me or mentioned it to me. Well, that was really part of the inspiration of writing the book. And if you think, hey, if you wrote that in 2000, you're not qualified to write this 18 years later, okay, I guess I'm not going to be able to change your mind on that. I would say that Bill Belichick knows a hell of a lot more about football than I do. He's made a couple of mistakes, too, including, if you look at it, okay, I whiffed on the greatest coach of all time in a big way in 2000. Bill had a chance to pick Tom in 2000, and he took six players before him. Tom's the greatest football player of all time, so he whiffed on him six times before he – and those six players in 2000, I believe, combined for zero Pro Bowl appearances in their career. So he gets credit for obviously taking him with that seventh pick in the sixth round. And, I'll take that column to my grave. I own it. There's a funny story about how that came to be. It's too long a story to tell you.
No, I want to hear it because I am fascinated by that.
Now, this is my recollection because I've thought a lot about this the last 3 years. I'm in a hotel room in Atlanta for the Super Bowl, Tennessee-St. Louis. My sports editor, who actually I think grew up a Patriots fan, calls me up. And he says, what are you writing today? And I was going to write a Rams-Titans column for that week, Super Bowl week. And he said, well, you know, what about the Belichick hire? And I said, well, yeah, you know, I'm down at the Super Bowl. And he said, well, I think more New Yorkers are going to care about that than the Titans and the Rams. And he was right about that. So he said, do you have an opinion on the hire? And I said, yeah, I think it's a lousy hire. And he said, well, go ahead and write that. So I did. And 18 years later, it's the most absurd take of all time. But at the time, people forget, I would say conservatively, 75% of the NFL agreed with that opinion. It was not a hot take. I'm not even sure in 2000 that was a warm take. The whole Giants organization, who those people loved Bill. They thought he was right there with Vince Lombardi and Tom Landry as the greatest assistants they ever had. But nobody, not just George Young, nobody in that organization, the Mara family, they did not believe in Bill as a head coach. They did not. They thought the Cleveland Bill, that was the real Bill as a head coach, and that's the reason he didn't get the job in New York. So, but again, I wrote it. I own it.
All right. Yes, you own it.
That's right.
I've done a Q&A on it.
Ian, you've gone into great detail.
You've overstayed enough. You've whipped yourself in the back.
It's more than okay. We've all made mistakes. All right, but you mentioned, you know, the Maras and all those people not thinking that he was going to be a great head coach. It doesn't seem, based on what you wrote, that Bill Parcells is a huge fan. He had some negative things to say.
Yeah, well, the one thing he said to me when I interviewed him, and if you look at the two Bills, which I thought was very well done, but I don't think, well, they were never close friends, for one. And two, do I think it's fully repaired now, the relationship, after what happened with the Jets? No. I think the two Bills, it was great to see them in the same room, but if you looked at their body language, I thought it was uncomfortable at times. And so we were talking about, I had a source tell me that, you know, Parcells was never happy that Belichick's game plan as defensive coordinator of the Giants in the 1991 Super Bowl ended up in the Hall of Fame. So when I was talking to him on the phone, I started to bring that up. And before I could even say I had a source, Bill became the source. He told me that he wasn't thrilled about that being in the Hall of Fame because the Giants were only on defense 19 minutes in that game against Buffalo. So he said, if anyone's game plan should be in the Hall of Fame, it should be my offensive coordinator's, Ron Earhart's. So to me, what I think the spirit of that was is, Bill's got five. I've only got two. Don't take one of mine away and give it to him. And there's always been a real tension in that relationship. I do think it's better now than it was years ago, but they're never going to be close friends.
Now, one thing that I did find interesting is that, you know, I mean, once again, we're talking about the Brady thing because it's recent and it's interesting, and I find that the quote that you had, that there are some coaches or assistant coaches or people within the Patriots organization that believe that Bill Belichick could have been as successful. What was it with one of the top 15 quarterbacks? Is that right?
Yeah. And I think the purpose or the meaning behind that quote wasn't that the top 15, those guys could win five championships. I think the coaches in that period all believed Tom Brady was a special football player. And I think now a lot of them do agree he's the greatest player of all time. But I think the spirit of the quote was, we could take those 15 guys and we can win a Super Bowl with those 15, or we could add one to an existing total. So if you're talking about, let's say, Philip Rivers, I do believe in Belichick's system, he has, or and with Bill as his coach, he has a ring. I also believe is there any way Aaron Rodgers would have one ring if Bill and the Patriot way were part of his whole existence? I think there's no way. I think Rodgers is as talented a quarterback as there's ever been. So I think that was the meaning behind it, not that we can take the 15 guys who are at the top of that position in the league and win five titles with them. I think it was more about we could win with those 15 and we could win a championship with those 15.
And you mentioned Ian O'Connor has got the book Belichick to Making the Greatest Football Coach of All Time, and it is a retrospective. I mean, it is from Bill at an early age until now, and so there is a lot of stuff that you learn, including that he's always been a dirty cheater, and that is the case, isn't it, Mr. Ian O'Connor?
I wouldn't call him a cheater. I think there's a difference between telling a lie and being a liar and cheating occasionally and being a full-fledged cheater. And you're talking about college, right, at Wesleyan?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No,
and Cleveland. Not Cleveland. And well, when he was the little assistant with the Colts? Was that what it was?
Right. He was his first year in the league, and he was delaying the sending of films to opposing teams. That was one of his jobs. And one of the women in that organization, Maureen Kilcullen, told me, and she worked for Ted Marchibroda, that she wondered if this was intentional. She used to take the enraged phone calls from the opposing coaches of, where's our film? And Bill was supposed to send it, and it was always coming a day late. So that was funny. Wesleyan, he took a lacrosse stick. Bill was a senior. He had a freshman who couldn't catch the ball. He had never played the game before, and he was trying to help the guy out. So he took a stick home, brought it back, and created an illegal pocket with a string loose, and he handed it to the guy. His name was John McVicker. He's now a liver transplant surgeon in California. And he said, if the opposing team sees this pocket, now Bill was trying to help the guy figure out how to catch the ball, and that opponent is going to ask the ref to examine it. Before you hand this stick to the ref, turn around, pull on this string, it'll tighten the net and make it legal again, then hand it to the ref. So those are the stories I really enjoyed, not to express the opinion that Bill is a cheater, because I really don't believe that. I think, but more the formation of a philosophy of always pushing the boundaries and being on that line between fair and unfair play, which that's true. I think Bill has pushed the boundaries as much as anyone has ever coached in the NFL, and that's certainly one of the reasons why he is the greatest coach ever.
All right, so Ian O'Connor, this the talk now is of what is going to happen with Tom Brady once his contract is up, and you talk a lot about, you mentioned that there almost was a divorce there at one point here in this offseason, and the two of them might be tiring of each other. Do you think that if Belichick is still here and Brady's contract is up, that he continues, or he finishes his career rather, here in New England or goes somewhere else?
I think there's no question, guys. I think that relationship needed to survive, and it survived barely that one moment last year in the offseason, that it was inevitable once Bill drafted Garoppolo in 2014 and said what he said that night about Tom's age and contract, that it was going to happen. It was coming to a head, and it did, and they survived it. And Tom outplayed the Belichick machine. He was supposed to be the next guy being pushed out a year too early rather than a year too late. And he just played at such a high level, it couldn't happen. And his successor had to be the one chipped out. So it was inevitable, but now I think that they survived that. They're back to their functioning transactional relationship. I do think they'll win one more. I think they're both going to retire in New England. I do think Brady now will play till he's 45. And he told me last year on the phone in the spring of 17 that 46, 47, 48, he didn't rule that out either, if he's playing at a high level at age 45. So, and I think Bill's, what, a young 66 now. I think he's got years left in him, too. So it'll be interesting to see who ends up outlasting the other. It's a lot easier physically to coach, obviously, than it is to play. So I guess you'd put the money on Bill. But what if he decides to become president of the Patriots, turn it over to McDaniels, and let Brady finish out his career that way? I think that's a possibility as well.
And I also think you're going to see a lot of other quarterbacks playing a lot older because you're not allowed to touch anyone anymore.
That's true.
I do believe that. All right, Ian O'Connor, thanks for coming on. Belichick to Making the Greatest Football Coach of All Time comes out on September 25th. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Louie, what is that? What is? I'm like, I don't know. I don't. What is it?
It's a baby f- wheel, man.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
That's a tuna, bro. Jay, we could get some big money for that if it's a f-
fish, buddy.
In reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we were looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them.
That is still good meat on that fish, kid.
I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Holy sh**, people, will you look at this fish?
You know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources.
985, the Sports Hub. Those are the two gentlemen who found and then returned the Red Sox 2018 division title banner.
Although the person who made, or the company, however, who made the banner said that it was stolen.
Well, listen, there's two sides to every story, and I tend to believe the guy that has the cup holders that have smokes, coffee, and then lottery tickets is the one who is the innocent. Now, you have found his Instagram page, and the man lives the life of Riley. There's no question about it.
That is true. That is
he
true.
Has one of those hats that just says Boston on it.
Well, who the...
It doesn't have the team on it?
Like the one that you can...
That's an upset.
You know the claw machines?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like when they don't have licenses to the hats?
The one with the cardboard flat brim.
It's the one you get at the stand for $5 at Boston Common.
Yes, sure. It just says Boston on it.
Boston baseball.
It just says Boston. And the only reason I know those hats is because when we go to Newport, the kids play the claw machine. Yeah. And I'm like, why do you want one of those ghetto-ass hats? It just says Boston.
I saw a hat that said Boston football the other day.
Yeah,
why not? Like, well,
did it even have the Patriot colors?
It did.
Okay,
and it said Boston football,
right?
Not New England. Like, you couldn't even put that on there.
No.
You just straight up said, "Oh well, Boston."
Yeah, I enjoy football and I like Boston.
By the way, I have reached out to these gentlemen, and if they would like to, I'd like to hear their side of the story. If they would like to tell their side of the story,
I believe them.
617. I'll definitely take their call. 617-779-0985. However, I did get an email. Now, I don't know if this is real. Once again, this is something that could have just been, you know, fake or whatever. But somebody says that they had a text back and forth with somebody that works for the Red Sox. And the text of the person who reportedly works for the Red Sox says, "Amazing, I witnessed the return today like I was watching a sitcom." And this person said, "No way, I would love to have seen it." And the guy said, "They're wearing the exact same outfits they had on there in that video. No lie." And he goes, "Did you guys adhere to their demands?" The person from the supposed Red Sox says, "No way." They said, "No playoff tickets?" He goes, "The best part is we probably would have just given them tickets if they just returned it initially." I said, "Oh, for sure." They said, "I've watched this video like three times. I love how careful they are when they're folding it up."
Yeah, I've said the same thing. But the guy still has a smoke in his mouth.
Right. You have to be careful. I mean, you know.
Like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
And then the guy from allegedly the Red Sox says, "They definitely would have scalped whatever tickets we gave them." And the guy said, "Aha." And he goes, "There were like 10 of us in the stairwell listening to the conversation. I want to know how that all went down. I want to know what that process was where they returned it." And they're standing there going, "All right, get ready." Palms out. They go, "All right, well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time. What about the money?" Well, how about we just don't call anybody like the cops?
I just think that it would have been so funny. I can't believe they actually talked to him. I just pictured them throwing the banner in front of Fenway Park and then taking off on bikes.
No, there was a conversation.
This is for Fenway Park. Yeah.
That's right. Matter of fact, that's what they wrote on the side of it, for Fenway Park.
"My man had to run through three things of traffic."
I think the greatest was...
"We did the right thing. We could have kept it. We could have put it on eBay. We could have, you know, we got connections where we could have reached out to other sources and got it.
You know, we know that my buddy works at the new casino that just opened."
Yeah.
"We're talking, so..."
Oh, does he mean the Springfield Casino even? That could be.
You can charge admission.
Think about that.
Charge admission to see the banner.
Yeah.
With the wheel mark on it.
There's a
Vision
Championship banner.
I have a friend who's a bearded lady and another one who's super tall. You throw the banner in there and we're talking millions.
We'll have the tour of the casinos have a bidding war against each other for the banner with the tire mark on it. That we thought were jerseys, even though they were wrapped up in a package and no one could see.
No one could see. I didn't know if it was a remnant from the Paul Revere ride. This is fossilized droppings from Paul Revere's horse. He was carrying a banner that said, "Hey, guys, the British are coming." And I just had to go through three cornfields to get this band to you.
The best is that apparently I'm getting emails from people who are friends of theirs or like who know them and say that A, everyone like is like angry at them for trying to get something for the Red Sox, and B, everyone's angry at them because they think now it's a curse. Is the fact that there's this banner that's out there.
Oh,
they've even won the AL East, that everyone's blaming them for these losses to the Yankees.
There you go. That makes all the sense in the world.
What if there was a curse of the banner?
The curse of the Malden heist?
Well, you said it best. It's like, you know, at least we're a part of history. Like, there's going to be a bronze statue of the two of them running, like a car, like narrowly missing the guy running down the road. The guy's got his, because you know the guy still had the smoke in his mouth as he was running across.
I mean,
the
my
road.
Man had to run across three lanes, traffic.
I can barely get words out of my mouth.
I just, it's like Malden Frogger. He's just like rolling, waiting in the middle of one lane.
Right. Well, that's what all standing in the street. That's what getting all that standing and milling about the street. You get very adept at avoiding traffic.
Okay, honestly, Bird, how often do people just randomly pick up stuff off the side of the road in Everett? Or is this...
You're going to have to get on a microphone, buddy.
How often does it happen? Because you're obviously very near where these guys are from. Yeah. How often does it happen where people just see a lump of something in the road and say, you know what, this is a treasure?
This is sad. I see it a lot.
Okay.
When I'm driving home and I'm driving around Malden, I'll just see somebody just pick up like a random cigarette butt or like a nickel or a dime or a penny.
All right, so what's the best thing that you and your friends have ever found in the road?
That's 617-779-0985. Ever gone Malden fishing?
Malden fishing.
Malden noodling.
No, we were at Gloucester Beach once. We found like a huge skull. We had no idea what it was.
Oh my gosh.
A human skull?
No, yes, it happened a couple of years ago. I have the pictures. I'll show
in
you.
In the road? What did you do with the skull?
We just left it on the picnic table. It was a wedding.
Did you call the cops?
Whoa. There's a bunch of stuff going on here. Hang on. It was a wedding?
Yeah, it was like... It was the day before the wedding. We found this huge skull, like, on the shore of the beach. We just picked it up. I'll show you the pictures.
Okay, so was it a human skull?
No, we have no idea what it was.
Okay, so there was just... can you imagine...
It was the Malden Predator. It was the Predator skull.
It was the ghost of Malden past, which is exactly the same as now. Same cause.
Yeah. Yep. Same people.
If I got in a time machine, it's not working. We're still in the same place. Wait a second. Look at the newspaper.
Right. I think we should go Malden fishing today.
I'm not going anywhere near.
I think I just want to hide in a bush, and I want to put like a half-eaten like box from like Jim's Deli on the side of the road and see how long it takes until somebody pulls over, dodges three lanes of traffic to find a half-eaten tuna sandwich.
That'll teach us. It happens all the time.
We should play a game called I Found a Skull.
You found a skull. Was it a human skull? I don't know. Could have been something. Okay. What have you found in Malden on the side of the road?
Side of the road.
It's the proof that evolution never happened.
Yeah, I mean, my man had to run across three lanes of traffic.
Darwin was wrong? Is that what I'm to...
Well, yes,
is that what I'm to glean from this? Darwin was completely wrong.
Yeah, it's evidence that we did not come from the sea.
Okay. Nick has gone Malden fishing on line three.
I don't know what this town is. Nick, go ahead.
Not just Malden anywhere. My grandfather was one of those weirdos that stopped in the middle of the highway every single time. Like, in the middle lanes anywhere. Would stop his truck if he saw anything on the highway. Tools, cardboard, scrap, anything he could find. He would stop his truck and hold up traffic so he could pick up random things on the highway.
I'll tell you this. Oh, my God. There's nothing more valuable than stray cardboard. Bobby, go ahead.
Yeah, so my friend and I were driving down the road one night. It's late. I looked at the side of the road. I see a bag with some white, like a white box. I said, pull over. I go over there. It's Chinese food. The guy must have put it on his roof down the street, and it fell off his roof. So it's still warm. I said, the body's still warm. So we scraped the last fall off. We ate the Chinese food. It was delicious.
Hang on. So he put it on the roof of his... He put it on the roof?
Well, he must have, because we figured, who does that, right? The guy, there's a little Chinese food place down the street. We figured guy must have been drunk, put it on his roof, and it fell off. It was, the body was still warm.
There's no evidence that he could have ate some of it and then thrown it out the window. You are absolutely right. It all checks out. Sometimes you got to eat the warm Chinese food. It's still warm.
The body's still warm.
It's like that. It's like, well, it's still warm. That means that it fell off his roof. There could be no other explanation.
It's like the Everett treasure hunters.
Aye, here we are in Everett. We found ourselves a skull. Ooh, the cigarette is only half smoked. It's plenty good.
Could you see? It's like, what's his name goes? He goes walking around and... Bird, just like Indiana Jones, goes up to the gazebo on Revere Beach, where instead of the idol, it's a mystery skull that has somehow been placed there by another treasure seeker.
Instead of like the some old book, it is a go in there instead of the Ark of the Covenant. It's a Hustler from 1979. Pristine condition.
So it says, how does one find a skull and not figure out what kind of skull it is or if it's a human skull or not?
Because I got a wedding to go to.
The solution is to leave it on a picnic table.
All right. Well, listen, I wouldn't do anything with it either. I'd get the hell out of there, too. All right, Rich, what do we have coming on?
We have a Super Bowl halftime show to announce. On top of that, Mike Tomlin finally speaks out on the Antonio Brown situation and whether or not there was any kind of punishment involved, and more information about Josh Gordon and Malden fishing.
All right, here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Stack is brought to you by Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare.
Did you see the video that Bird posted of the skull that he said he found on Revere Beach? It is a... I can't tell if it's like a huge animal skull or if it's the torso of a human. Like, it's the part where your legs would go in, where the sockets are. All I know is that their butt... It's like all like gross, and there's... You could tell that it hasn't been decayed for that long, and his friends are just grabbing it like it's a football and just moving it around, bare hands. That is ridiculous. By the way, we have another... Well, I could take another Malden fishing story. We got one in line, too. I could take this all day.
All right. Malden fishing, if you don't know, is hopping out of your car or on finding something in the street or maybe just walking down. Now, it's a very unique to Malden, according to Bird, because he says every time he goes through Malden, he sees people do it, as opposed to Everett, where they poo-poo that type of behavior.
Once you cross over the line, that practice stops.
Right. Matt, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys? How we doing?
Yeah, good.
All right, so I used to live in Malden a few years ago. One of his girlfriends.
All right, your phone is
awful. So it was saying it's like National Treasure 3. If you cut that banner open, the D to Fenway Park is inside of it.
Yes. I own the park now.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like the band that has been reported to do the halftime show for this year's Super Bowl has been announced.
Five.
And
give
it
the
is
oon.
The Amazing Johnny. Ladies and gentlemen, Freddie, you got to pop me up there.
You're up, buddy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Don't play that. This is performing all of their hits. The Amazing Johnny will be doing Midget with a Dog over and over and over again. No, you're going to have a lot more hunkitude there. That is going to be Maroon 5.
Oh, it is soon.
Yeah.
I've been talking about...
Did you not know?
I did not know. Swear to God.
It's Maroon 5.
Oh, yeah.
You really just guessed that?
Every year I've gone, give me the 5.
It's the 5.
Give me the Oon 5.
Yep.
Oh, you know what? And by the way, everyone says it's all about the singer.
It is.
There's a reason it's Maroon 5. There's four dudes there that are keeping the beat.
Really? What? Like, which one is the... Who excels at their craft outside of the singer?
It's just a groove, dude. Okay. You can just get in the pocket and just relax. Luke, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Two things. First, real quick, I think the faster guy reminds us that you know, banners aren't made unless first finding a banner in the woods.
Right.
Or into the ocean.
Right. And number two, you know, I think it's just very disrespectful to call this guy a black man, Fred. You know, when you take something that's not yours and then try and get money for it, it's extortion.
Oh, I'm sorry. I needed to get my thesaurus out. I do apologize for that, Luke. You are absolutely correct. I'll have to take my lumps. It is not blackmail. It is extortion. You're right.
Extortion. I just love that was their plan. Their plan was like, it's so valuable. You know, listen, I know the bluffing when they're saying that they've got a duplicate banner because they're going to need this one.
The like Red Sox that pay guys $30 million a year are going to really have trouble running out to Kinko's and get another one of those knocked out.
That's the best thing that in their heads. And then they thought that there was going to be a riot if they did make a duplicate. And they still had the real one.
That's
listen,
right.
you're pulling one over on everybody. We got the real one out here. Like, they're going to stand in the streets and just have a mob of news reporters going, what are you going to do with it? But how much, whatever they, what do you, how much do you need? What do you want? I don't know what taking it to court. It's fraud in our eyes.
I don't know. A trillion dollars? I mean,
that
a trillion
at least a
dollars
cotton.
Or a thousand lottery tickets.
Louis, what is that? What is? I'm like, I don't know. I don't. What is it?
Yeah, well, that is something that you're not getting anything in return for bringing back to the Red Sox, apparently. Well, by the way, by the end of the day, the story's going to get really funny.
Yeah.
Like, by the end of the day, there's going to be, like, seven twists that are going to be absolutely hysterical.
Yeah, you don't even know what's going on. There's so many twists and turns.
That's right. They're way ahead of us.
Are you saying that the news organizations might pry into this gentleman's personal life and find some weird things?
I just think that there's already 18,000 inconsistencies with the story.
Go to the Massachusetts, arrest records thing. There's one in Michigan.
Okay.
And see what this guy, if this guy has ever been put in jail.
So this is for Fenway Park.
Yeah. And you know what the great thing is that,
like, how do we have this? Like, nobody made this.
It just exists. It is here.
It's
and that
like
is
a
all.
Prison registry that I became fascinated with for a while years ago because you could just put people's names in and you would see guys that you went to high school with and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So it might be interesting to do that. All right, go ahead.
Might be possibly. So LeBron James is getting Black Panther's Ryan Coogler, the person who directed Black Panther, to produce the sequel to Space Jam, Space Jam 2, which has been rumored to being made for like the last 10 years, apparently. But they are saying that, yes, indeed, LeBron James is going to be starring in the new Space Jam, which they say be out within the next year or so.
It's about time. There were so many unanswered questions from the first Space Jam.
I would bring my kids to see the new Space Jam. And I'm not a LeBron James fan, obviously. But...
Well, yes, if it was snowing and you couldn't do anything, I would do that too. I told you I saw Uncle Drew, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes. What a performance by Chris Webber.
Chris Webber.
Doing Eddie Murphy playing a preacher.
Yeah, he was fine. I mean, listen,
no, you know who was good was Reggie Miller.
He was pretty good.
I thought he was good.
Nate Robinson was good.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do much.
No, he really didn't. And it had a lot of the stuff that you had predicted that was going to happen. Like, there was, like, a dance-off. Like, oh, these old people don't know how to be up in the club. And then, of course, they do
No, everything I predicted happened because it was the most derivative movie of all time.
It is, but it wasn't bad.
It was. You know what? I sat through it with my son. My daughter refused to watch it because it involved sports. But
okay.
Yes.
She did not want to watch any of it.
She did not.
Well, Mike Tomlin spoke yesterday about Antonio Brown missing Monday's practice. And he said, hey, did you punish the guy?
Guarding Antonio, he and I met yesterday for an extended period of time. I'll leave the nature of that conversation between us. There was discipline involved for his missed meeting for Monday. Some of the other things we talked about extensively, he'll speak for himself in some of those things. Really, our focus is preparing to win this game on Monday night. But I did want to give you guys an update. I promise you I'd give you that. So there it is.
Okay, so what happened? So what's going on? Like, can we know something? Like, is that it?
Well, I mean, compared to what Belichick does, he just, you know, spilled his heart out.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a good point. He did.
Well, I thought the whole time I'm thinking about Belichick just grumbling.
Just saying nothing.
Yeah.
Like the Josh Gordon thing yesterday was astounding. That was great. Everyone, both teams had said, oh, yeah, it's official. It's official. The NFL Wire had said it's official. And, of course, he would not say that it was official, even though 20 minutes later he was on the field with Tom Brady.
For some reason, that one stuck. Because I talked to like three people yesterday that I don't know that well, and they all brought up Belichick not admitting that Gordon
because
was on the
insane.
Team.
Because it's insane. Like, he was literally on the field, and everyone had said it had gone through. Everyone.
And the thing is that I don't understand how that's to your advantage.
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why he does that, but obviously he knew that he would get people groveling at him. I do want to quickly take this call because I think I know where he's going and I want to mention something.
Okay. Yeah, he's talking about that movie. Yeah. All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Rich, I just want to give you a heads up, man. The movie Mandy with Nicolas Cage is absolutely off the charts. I had to actually watch it twice on a 24-hour period. I've never been on a mind trip like that for a very, very long time. I get everybody at work watching it. In Portland, Maine this weekend, they're actually releasing it, and they've already sold out of tickets for it.
Yeah, so there's
movie is like crazy, crazy, crazy.
They're showing it at the Coolidge. It's the only theater in town, but you can get it on like on demand now. That's the one where Nicolas Cage goes nuts, and it's about him and these people in the woods who like attack his wife, and it's like set in 1983, and there's like a lot of acid involved, and it's like an acid. It's insane. However, somebody had a really good idea, and they said, because actually, I tweeted out the trailer, and Dan Roach replied saying, sounds a lot like Toy Story. And so somebody said, you know what you should do? You should get Dan Roach's disturbing movie review. Because Dan Roach sees, like, everything. He goes to all of the movies. He sees a ton of them. We should have him, like, every once in a while review, like, a completely horribly disturbing film.
Yeah, have him get it on demand. This one's easy.
Oh, yeah. This one would be great. You just sit at home and watch it on demand and have him do a movie about Nicolas Cage battling a bunch of pain-loving psychos on acid would be fantastic.
Better yet, have him do some LSD. Have him watch it and everything seems normal.
I think that might be a good idea.
All right, so yeah, if we could text Dan and ask him to watch that movie sometime over the weekend. I don't think he's in New York, and then the Patriots game's not until Sunday night, so that should be good. All right, we'll find out what Zolak and Bertrand have coming on the way.
Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich and Scott Zolak.
Real quick, John mentioned something during the break that has to be discussed real quick.
Yes.
John.
TMZ. That's me.
I haven't heard you called John in a while.
It has been a while. This from TMZ Sports. They just tweeted this out about 5 minutes ago. They tracked down Colin Kaepernick's attorney, Mark Garagos. Mm-hmm. And Garagos.
Mark Garagos.
Is it Garagos?
Remember him?
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't,
he's a famous lawyer.
All right, remember him from the OJ stuff?
Oh, that's right. Of course. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, so he's
the male version of Gloria Allred.
Yes. He seems to think that his client could be nearing a deal with an NFL team within the next week. And he brings up two teams. Let's listen to this.
I wouldn't say join the Dolphins. I've got two other teams that will remain nameless.
Oh, come on. Give us a hint.
I'll just say this. If Al Davis was still alive, that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, wow. Hey, did you hear that Meek Mill wants to do a... he's going to do an anthem, a Colin Kaepernick anthem.
I've heard that. You know who Meek Mill was visited by when he was in custody?
Tell the folks at home.
Robert Kraft.
Bingo. This guy knows...
See? Okay, so
it seems
to me... Oh, my God, he's coming here, Wallace.
It seems to me
listen,
that he's hinting...
I don't think that that's crazy.
...from Oakland and the Patriots.
Okay, so...
Do you read that any differently?
Here's why I think this isn't so crazy, is because I believe after this Nike thing, and it ended up being a massive positive for the company. I mean, the stock is the highest it's ever been. It got a huge positive pop that I think that teams are going to look at that and not be scared to sign this guy anymore. And I believe that the Patriots, almost more than any other team right now in the NFL, need a good backup quarterback, and they don't have one.
Keyword, good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he stinks.
He's good.
I think he stinks. If a team signed him.
I don't want him.
You think he stinks?
I think he stinks.
If a team signed him.
Is he better than Hoyer?
Probably not. In this offense, no.
Not better than Hoyer?
In this offense, no. Absolutely not.
No, he's probably not. But I will tell you this.
Without a doubt, no.
If a team did,
he's a half-filled player.
If a team did sign him, it would be because of the way that it would resonate with the fan base.
I don't doubt it. Whereas maybe 2 weeks ago, it was a completely different feel and vibe.
The talent's got to be so good to supersede everything else with everything else that comes with it. The baggage that comes with
but
it.
But I think, Scott, at this point now,
they just signed Josh Gordon.
You go, hang on a second. At this point.
Again, the talent has to supersede. Josh Gordon is extremely talented.
I think that signing him now could be looked upon that we're appealing to a demographic that's very, very attractive to us. That you're appealing to people from the ages of 18 to like 34, which is where the NFL and sports in general want to. You know, this is where they want to get him in. And so maybe
that'd be Garagos' dream to have either the Raiders or the Patriots interested in him. Like, Patriots are big. Well, say what you want. They're not good this year, but they, I mean, they're a big market team.
Yeah.
They're Raiders, man. Black and silver. They'd love to have them.
And then if you're the Raiders, since you're moving to Las Vegas and maybe there's some apathy from your fans, you bring him in and that galvanizes everyone. Yeah.
I'm just starting to think that within the next... This season, he'll probably be on a team if he wants to be.
If like, if I had a team, I'd put him on. And I'd sell.
It's next week.
And I'd sell.
If I was an Arena League team, I'd sign him. Or Canadian.
I don't think he would.
Bring him in.
What if you're the Bills? Oh, you need a quarterback.
It'd be so Buffalo.
Buffalo doesn't need it.
Buffalo
doesn't need it. I'm not signing him as a quarterback. I'm signing him as a marketing tool, as if I'm signing him.
Is Kaepernick better than what they got in Buffalo?
Well, you got Josh Allen just drafted him. It's his team.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Josh Allen's team. Yeah, they don't be Kaepernick.
Yeah, they're not going to.
See, Kaepernick wants to play. If he's going to sign anywhere, he wants to play.
If you took a quarterback in the first round, you're not going after Kaepernick. All right, everyone, have a wonderful day. That'll do it for us. Bye. See you guys.